This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of our journey, you inspired St. Francis to understand and to do what he was to do. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit to know what we are to do. And give us the courage to grow into our call each and every day. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. There was a discussion that was taking place, and someone was interviewing a couple who had been married a long time, and they asked one of the spouses, "And how long have you been happily married?" To which the response was, "About half the time." Happy Valentine's Day weekend. Being happy. When we hear these Beatitudes, it is important for us always, when we use that word blessedness, to not necessarily equate it with happiness in the way that the world would do so, but to take it to that deeper level of joy that is not fleeting, that is meant to be with us all the time, always, in the depths of our being. Jesus had to have been the most joyful person that ever walked this earth. But in terms of happiness, the way the world might see it, he died penniless, he died hungry, he died crying, he died hated. And yet this is the call to which he gives each of us. There was a great professor and preacher in the Presbyterian Church, and he was sometimes asked to reflect upon these Beatitudes. And this is what he told his students. "At first sight, you feel they turned everything upside down. But at second sight, you understand that they turn everything right side up. The first time you read them, they're impossible. The second time you read them, nothing else is possible. The Beatitudes are not a chart for Christian duty. They're a charter for Christian freedom." It's an important thing for us to consider. And it's important for us to consider them today from the light in which Luke presents them, which, as we know from Matthew 5, 1 to 12, we sang a lot of those lyrics in the hymn we had around the gospel, that it is not the Sermon on the Mount with Luke. It is clearly the Sermon on the Plain. Perhaps it's a good metaphor for us that Jesus comes down, that Jesus comes down to their level, to our level, that Jesus levels with us, that Jesus gives us plain talk, real talk. It can be daunting for us. That can be such that we would want to say, "No way, I can do that." An MBA program, and I didn't know much about these different economic courses that we had to learn. And I switched, as I usually do, to the end of the book to see everything I'm supposed to know by the end of that book. And I wasn't even able to pronounce some of the words. It can be daunting such that we might not want to even embark upon it. But the important thing for us is to realize that it's not so much about us, it's about what God can do in and through us. We have to go back to that line that comes a little bit later in Luke's gospel, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That it gives God joy that we will be able to have this teaching and live into it if we follow God's way. We need to go back again to where we begin most of our small group series with an understanding of where we start. God created us as creatures in the garden, gave us dominion over everything, but there was one thing, that tree that was the fruit of knowledge that we were not to eat of. This was like the centerpiece of the table, as some people have said. Eat everything at the banquet table, but just enjoy the beauty of those flowers. Don't try to eat them. They're not good for you. And yet we know the story. The serpent comes and convinces Adam and Eve, convinces us in a way that God really isn't looking out for your best interests. God does not want you to be like God. So go ahead and eat that. Do it your way, not God's way. And this is the fallacy that we can enter into. We surrender to the will of God. If I say yes to God, and we feel like there's something I'm going to be deprived of, a deep suspicion in us that God will take things away from me if I do this, that it's not going to be a road to true happiness, it's going to be a road to austerity and suffering. Yet, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God's capable of bringing this into a reality for us, every single one of those Beatitudes. But they're just simply descriptions of how God wants to do it, what God wants to do with us, not demands. That's not how the process works. We immerse ourselves in trust, and God's going to bring us from the beginning of that economics book to the end. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He meets us where we are. So we should not be daunted by these. It is amazing the differences in these two accounts of these Beatitudes. We need to hear clearly the preface of those Beatitudes today. He's been up on the mountain. He calls his disciples. He brings them down. And he says, looking at them, not at the crowd, looking at them, blessed are you who are poor. In other words, he's making it clear that those who have already been willing to enter into this journey of trust and have given up everything are already blessed. Yet again, it becomes that upside down process for us that we see throughout Luke's gospel from the beginning with Mary's Magnificat and Zechariah's canticle, that he's casting down the proud, lifting up the lowly. This is God's way, that it is God's good pleasure for us to be a part of. So how can we do that? We can do that if we are willing to enter into God's process. I cling to little anecdotes that are meaningful to me over the years, and there is one that comes down to us from Anne Lindbergh, who is the wife of the famous pilot Charles Lindbergh. And if you remember your history, their child was kidnapped and eventually found dead, buried under their very own house. After that it all happened, she was keeping a journal, and this is what she wrote. I do not believe that sheer suffering teaches. If suffering alone taught, all the world would be wise. Boy, I'd agree with that. After the last 2 years, if it was just suffering that did wisdom for us, we'd be pretty smart. To suffering must be added mourning, understanding, patience, love, openness, and the willingness to remain vulnerable. All these, if the circumstances are right, can teach and lead us to rebirth. This is the process we are called. So how do we do that? I find in many ways to look to examples. Examples that we call saints. And I can remember one particular saint, Mother Teresa, that when she was in the later years of her life, it became clear in her writing that she had a lot of doubts, that she had a difficulty at some time even admitting that God existed. This is Mother Teresa. And a lot of people, their own belief, their own system of looking up to her was shattered. Until there was a wise article that was written in one of the major periodicals by one of the journalists who interviewed her and said, after reading about her doubts, said, "Thank God, finally something I can relate to about Mother Teresa. She's human like me." Yet she was on that journey of letting God continue to bring the Beatitudes into her own experience. There is another saint that we can look to for a great example, and I would like to show a short video to introduce this saint.
You know, I've had the opportunity dozens of times over the last 20 years to bring pilgrims here to Assisi. And I often hear the same or similar things. I hear pilgrims say things like, "I had no idea who Francis was." They'll say to me, "I knew that Francis loved animals, but he's so much more than that." Somebody said to me, "Francis is more than a birdbath." Yes, yes, Francis of Assisi is more than just a birdbath. But who is he? If all you know about Francis of Assisi was that he loved animals or that he was poor, then you're missing the power, you're missing the beauty, you're missing even the simplicity of St. Francis of Assisi.
With a lot of the saints, what we do is we proof text their lives. You just pull out little instances from their lives and pretend that that's the whole person. And I think that the big problem with the way we look at Francis and the way we look at saints generally is we expect them to be made out of plaster, but they're flesh and blood. When you get to know a saint, when you see Francis in the whole of his life and not just in little snippets or single episodes, you realize this flesh and blood person is way more than you ever thought that you were going to encounter.
I think we find misconceptions about Francis in a similar way. We find misconceptions about our Lord Jesus Christ. We find misconceptions about what Jesus taught. We make of Jesus sometimes who we want him to be. So it's not surprising that we take a saint who wanted to follow Jesus and make him into who we want to be.
Maybe at a certain level, the world is fascinated by St. Francis because of joy, freedom, some poetic feeling of the creation. But this is not the real Francis. What makes the greatness of Francis is much deeper. The real Francis is something so mysterious, so supernatural, that unless you enter the same spirit in which St. Francis was living, you will never understand the real Francis.
I was looking for the truth. And St. Francis was complex in the sense that as you approach to him, more some side of his personality, his relationship to the Lord, his relationship to the values of money and power seem to be complicated. And so it's an ongoing process of discovering. And more I discover Francis, more I discover the truth that I'm looking for.
Francis of Assisi was a poet. He was a dreamer. He was a lover. He was on a journey searching and finding and losing. He was a real person. He wasn't this mythical figure of the past, but he was a man, not unlike you and I. He was tormented. He was tormented with temptations, with doubts, with fears. He was broken, and he was healed. He was poor, and he was forever rich. He stood before the powers of the world, and he said things like, "Become small, become little, quiet, broken." And if you can do that, you'll find Jesus.
I'm going to invite us to enter into a journey with Francis and the Beatitudes. It is our tradition at this church to offer some sort of a small group series during the Lenten season. And the best one that we could find that we thought would be appropriate for a wide range of participants is an 8-week series that, coincidence of the Holy Spirit, is based on the Beatitudes and St. Francis of Assisi. So for the next 8 weeks, we are inviting those who would like to join with us on that journey. And to do so, we will be re-echoing the themes as best I can on the following Sunday, using some of the film clips from this particular movie that is called Sign of Contradiction. But this particular series, if we can bring up that next slide, you will see it advertised in the back of the bulletin today. And I would encourage you, if you can, to open up to that page just so you see what our schedule is going to look like for those who would like to be a part of it. And I want to mention two things in this regard to start with. There is a book, a participant guide, that will be distributed at the first session. So you don't need the book before your first session. If you are not going to participate in person and you wanted to do it via Zoom or virtually, there is an app that you can download onto your web-enabled phone or iPad. The app that you can download will have all of the materials, save for the group discussion questions, that is in the actual book. But it also has some wonderful meditations, video-wise, that you can use. And if you have difficulty downloading from that site that we have referred to there, please call us and we would be happy to try to point you through it. We already know that this is an offering that I'm going to be doing on Wednesday nights in the parish hall from 6:30 till 8. This Wednesday will be our first gathering. If you want to join us, you will see that there is a sign-up sheet on the opposite page. You see there are two boxes at the top. If you're going to join the Wednesday night group or would like to, just tick that box. There is a women's only group that is gathering on Thursday nights. There are still just a couple of spots left in that group already. They are incorporating some of the elements of what we call Faith Within, the old Ministry of Mothers Sharing elements. But there are other opportunities to sign up for. Now, I will also mention that if you look at the sign-up sheet over on the left, we have a misprint. It's not Tuesday night that they're gathering, it's Thursday night. But if you cannot do Wednesday night, and you are not a woman to do Thursday night, and you still would like to be a part of this, I would ask that you just go down the list as you see on the right column and just tick all the times that you would be available to do this. What we will do is, as we've done in the past, collect all of the inputs from everyone who wants to participate, and then we will form groups as the critical mass has developed. So if you want to be a part of this, I would ask that today, and if you need pencils, the ushers have pencils in the back, just check the boxes if you know which one you want to be a part of. And there's no limit on Wednesday night. We can handle as many people as want to do it on Wednesday night because we'll just subdivide as we've done in the past with different groups. But if you have other times that you would prefer, just tick those times. And then I would ask that you just rip that page out of the bulletin and place it into the collection plate today. And one last thing, in this sort of in-between time, in and out of COVID, who knows where we are, we do want to still offer for those that aren't comfortable in person to be able to do it via Zoom if they would like. And you will see on the bottom left, there is a box that you can tick if you need to do it with virtual participation. And if there are enough who want and desire that, we will have a separate group that will just be meeting via Zoom. I am convinced that God is going to bring us many blessings through this. Just getting to know more about St. Francis will be worth the time invested in itself. And the Bible study that is connected with relevant passages that relate to the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel will also be, I think, enlightening. But it brings us together as a community, praying and fellowshipping, whether it's over Zoom or just together again. So if you're looking for something that you're going to want to do during the Lenten season, just start 3 weeks early. I don't think you will regret it. Amen.